We're also following this story with about the death of a policeman this morning or overnight. Stetson Babb has been tracking that development. What exactly do we know so far, Stetson? Or how much can we tell the public exactly of what we know?
It's not so much a question of what we know or what we surmise or what we believe we know, but what we can actually say, because it seems to be a fairly sensitive issue. But what we can say for sure is that a young policeman was killed in the early hours of this morning. In fact, well, early morning, sometime between 5 and 6, in what I suppose, how you describe, maybe a domestic dispute. He was killed at his home by a man, and it was clearly he was in the company of a female acquaintance. Now, everyone who I spoke to spoke highly of this young police officer, very, very well liked in the area, the district of Kingsland, said to be an extremely good policeman that did a lot of work and certainly looked out for his own area in Kingsland. But sometime between 5:30, he was said to be at his home. It appears in the company of a female acquaintance. And it appears that a man burst into the home and an altercation ensued. And the female acquaintance appeared to have been slightly injured, and he was stabbed fatally in that incident. And I suppose that's as far as I would want to go at this stage.
The female acquaintance is not a police officer?
It is alleged that it is so alleged.
Okay, so we wait for the police to put out their own statement on this, because we have been checking the emails and we haven't seen anything yet coming from them on this particular matter.
So they
gave you a statement,
but they haven't
put out the official statement, the usual media release that they put out. So I wait to see what exactly they will say. They could confirm that something has happened, but the greater detail should come from them. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome. Good morning.
I'm calling about a situation with me and my work. I work at private. I work with a security firm. And I call for duty. We have to call on Saturday or Sunday for duty. I did call for mine. I was told I have a meeting. That is last week, Monday. I went to the meeting. There were no other duties for me. Which, and if they have duties, they will call us, but they want me to call morning and night. So if I call morning and night and they do not get nothing, I will be at square one still. I can call because I stay straight. They know my number and they will call me if they have duties. Oh, which and they does do it. You call on Saturday or Sunday, you get your full roster. And if you don't, if they had going to make changes or they want you to go someplace besides what they give you, they will call you. I called on Saturday. I didn't get any duties. I called on Sunday. They said they ain't seen nothing. This is 2 weeks now running. I ain't get no duties. And I asked, we had a meeting on Monday. The union rep with me. He tell her, well, if I don't give her her green paper, person that I had the meeting with said, no, yeah, I'm not giving me no green paper. But to me, they want me to get frustrated and walk away from 11 years of working.
Well, you have a situation there which is pretty delicate. First of all, you have the union to represent your interests. The employers are expected to follow a particular course of action by law. You know, the government introduced this Employment Rights Act and stuff like that.
Therefore, they don't go by the law.
No. If you're having that kind of problem, then you have recourse to the Labor Department. Have you gone to them?
I went to the Labor Department.
What did they tell you?
They tell me they're looking into the matter.
How long ago was that?
I went. This is going on now. I can tell you the truth. This sort of thing is going on with me saying 2016, late 2016.
Well, what is at the core of this? Are you a good worker?
Yes, but there.
Why would they treat you that way if you are such a good worker?
It is a particular supervisor is at me, right? He's at me. So he have 4 more person behind him, backing him.
How many folks?
That is right down after.
Ma'am, that don't sound right. Let me tell you something. This don't sound right.
First of all,
it doesn't sound right. Because they can't have five people who are against you in that environment just for no good reason. But having said that, you also have your rights. You need to be protected if you are indeed a good worker. I don't believe that you're going to find a company condoning that kind of conduct. And I mean, unless the supervisor is not the ultimate manager in the place, right?
Right.
Have you been to the manager?
I talked to him.
And what the manager told you?
He would get back to me.
And how long ago was that?
Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You don't believe it's time that you went back to him then?
Whenever you call for him, or you have to go to him, he didn't say he's not in or he's not there. He's not there. You cannot answer if he's at a meeting. He's not there. Then we get back to you. Then we let him call you or anything. So
I get the impression that your manager is putting some confidence in the supervisor.
Of course.
Right. For whatever reason, that manager believes that the supervisor's call is the correct call. You then go on to tell me that there are about four other people in the company who are supporting the supervisor. So you've got five people against you. What is wrong with you?
Nothing is wrong with me.
Okay, if you tell me so. But
I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell you something. Right there,
the trade union.
I used to, again, let you know this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew to get up at 3 in the morning. They would call me. We have other people to post. So can you let me come for you early? Because we have to go back and north, up in the Central and thing and post. So can you be ready for me to carry you down to where you have to work, and we will take you. And if you can do it for us, I know, so do it. I do it for 10, I went there 10.
And then you stopped doing it, right?
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I can't get involved in the details of it, ma'am. I don't want to go any further.
I understand.
I don't want to go any further with it, because it to go any further is likely to say enough that you can be identified on radio and that sort of thing. But I just raised with you what I see as a possible counter to all that you are saying, since I am not privy to all of the information. The Labor Department is there. The trade union is there to represent your interests. Try to work with those two to see if you can get this matter resolved. But there may also be a necessity to fight harder to have a meeting with the manager if you genuinely believe that you are being disadvantaged by an unreasonable supervisor and other workers in the company. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hey, hello, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
Mm-hmm. Start with an observation. I called you sometime in November, and I gave you all the salary increases for the public sector from 1976 to 2010. That was in response to a gentleman who used to call you on Friday. That's the first time I heard him speaking to you since he said November last year. When he said, he always used to say that the 6% that was given, 6% increase that was given in 2009 was the highest salary increase ever given to public sector workers. I heard him call several moderators that said, "You, I didn't believe he must probably was shifting, but he thought now, well, you know, he remembered this, so he called you last week and him keeping a lot of noise on Friday." This is what I'm noticing with these zealous government supporters. There's nothing wrong with supporting your party, but you must come to the public with credible information, not misleading statements. And as you said earlier, shooting from the lip. They must bring information that is credible to the public domain. I'll start with that. Now, it's obvious that this government has reneged a couple of Mr. Barrow's stated positions. One, that they will not be found loitering on the steps of the House of Commons in London after closing time. And two, Barbados is a friend of all and a satellite of nothing, of friend of all, and a satellite of none. Well, to be quite frank with you, I'm not sure that views I've seen there loitering to my mind and the steps of in the parliament. I know the loitering after the house was dissolved. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the way how that they are dealing, they seem as though they're being annexed. Barbados seems as though it's being annexed by China, right? Because for the last couple of years, China been making so many contributions to Barbados. I wonder what is the real reason for all of this. What is the real reason?
For what?
And all the contributions that they are giving to Barbados.
But I don't think that is in any way different to what China is doing in so many other countries.
China
is trying its best to extend its influence across the world, strengthening its own position.
Mm-hmm.
Many countries who can no longer turn to the United States or Britain,
mm-hmm.
Or you know, your traditional friends for the kind of support that they had before, are turning to China, exploiting the Chinese way of doing business. You know the Chinese way of doing business. When you listen to the Americans, they can tell you. Of course, they know very well how they did business over the years.
Yeah.
But they say the Chinese do business with many countries
like
these
what
days.
What is doing in Africa?
Right.
Through Hong Kong.
Through corrupt practices. That's what they say.
Parts of the Caribbean.
So our relationship is consistent with the international norm.
No,
which
I'm worried about Barbados' relationship with China.
Why?
Really? But as I said, you got to also look.
Why?
At the, yes, you also have to look at the areas that they're getting themselves involved in. Right? They're engaging in parliament, education, law enforcement.
But they're being asked to do it. They're not doing so without invitation.
Yes, because we have a cash-strapped government. We have a cash-strapped government. You know what people, a cash-strapped government, they do anything. What would motivate China, right? To give Barbados in the 1916 budget $68 million. They came back last year and gave them $20 million.
Good grief, man. Everybody knows what motivates China to do that. You just said it.
Yeah. So as a Barbadian, you're not worried about that?
Listen, whether it's China or any other benefactor, you would be worried that the country finds itself in a position where it is borrowing that much and is so heavily dependent on any one source for that kind of support.
This is not borrowing. This is you remember they're fixing these things freely. They fixed the generators with $18.5 million free, $10 million in the electronics supplies to the school system. I get a total of $123.5 million. They will not just donate these things to a country.
So the question, like the issue here, has to be, what is the quid pro quo? What is it that Barbados is surrendering in exchange for that measure of support? At a minimum, what you are raising here is the issue of transparency in the agreement between China and Barbados, and that we may well find ourselves committed to things and positions that the people of Barbados do not know enough about.
That's the point that I'm raising.
But this is not peculiar to the relationship with China. I mean, Barbados has also been, over time, committed itself to all types of treaties that the people of Barbados don't have enough information on. This is really a crisis of information that the Barbadian public, I mean, what we are going through right now, and you've heard some of these people talk, this lady who spoke this morning so passionately. It's very, very difficult not to identify with a lot of what she has said. You know, Barbadians at times feel as though their democracy has been hijacked.
Well, I thank
especially
you.
Especially in relation to this whole question you. Of information. And what commitments are we getting? This is not new to us. This is not this, new this because the, kind of, because kind of I am I want to say this to you. Because we sat down here long enough over the years to know that some of these issues came up before. And when we thought that a new government was going to improve the situation, we have seen this situation run from bad to worse.
Listen, Ms. McLean voted against America at the last United meeting that she was at. And you know what she said? That America don't contribute to Barbados as much as our friends, China. You're getting the same language from the Prime Minister. I am very concerned. Like you're donating millions of dollars to the police force, to the defense force, military equipment. I'm saying 60 laptops to in the parliament, $10 million to the school supplies. This is serious.
So let me ask you something. So what do you think China is getting in exchange for that?
China, look at how they're functioning throughout the world. Look how they're went in Africa. China don't just look.
No, you are you're not being specific. You are just, you're raising an alarm. But you're not able to say that what that alarm is based on. Just on the
alarm is based on China goes into your country, right? Now, as I said, our problem with Barbados is difficult because we have a grassroots government. So they're bending backwards. They are selling out the sovereignty. Listen, right? Barbados sovereignty is on the threat as far as I'm concerned with that. As far as I'm concerned,
but you are not specific.
I am specific. I just quoted numbers to you.
No, you are not specific. You have given me, you've given me one side of this story. One side is that, hold on. That there is too much money coming from China to Barbados.
Donated.
And that has been donated. And there's a danger. What is the danger?
So there's no free lunch. If China is giving you,
So you want to find out what is the other side of the equation? Before you raise the alarm, you need to ask that question.
You're selling your sovereignty out.
All right, let's move on.
You're selling your sovereignty out.
Let's move on. Thank you. This is a message for Marslyn Best. You went shopping at a place in Spitestown recently and you forgot something important at that particular establishment, DY's. So what you need to do is contact them and they will get that particular information package or parcel back to you as quickly as possible, okay? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Welcome to you. A couple of things here. You cannot compare Africa with the Barbados where the trade is concerned because Africa has what I call a lot of natural resources, gold, diamonds, oil, all those sort of things that you could understand China exploiting. What is there in Barbados that China have to come to exploit the sand and the sea and the people? And I think sometimes the man is go overboard. What you should be talking about is the $9.9 billion that the Democrat came and find in debt that they had to go about repaying the people the money that they borrowed, which they're going to leave office and still owe the people. Which you might argue that the methods that he used going about solving the problems might be wrong. So that's what he should be talking about. The other thing is that my thing to use today, we are some strange people in this place. We want to pull down some people and uplift some people. Now, let's go to what the thing is all about. Natalie is running as an independent candidate for the city. Natalie is a Barbadian. She might have a different personality or what we might not agree to. Some of us might not agree to how she conducted herself previously.
Previously,
yeah.
As a thing of the past, no.
Right. You tell about it. When a man, when a woman have a child out of a lot, what is that? Hello?
Man, I'm listening to you. You really want me to tell you what it is? You know, you live in this country. You live life already. You know what it is better than I am.
Let me draw an example to you. A lady who established herself academically, then went on to have a child, went on to have a prominent position. She's in no position to tell not eat anything. The first thing you know, you will ask, a child doesn't have a father? And so many people about this are talking. They should examine themselves. Look at themselves first. Not the dead things in the open, but the dead things in the darkness and the privacy of their home. My thing to Natalie is to get on with her job. If she's not successful, there's other times that opportunity. She's a younger, she's around 32 years old. She still have a chance of coming back and running again. She might join some political organization. I hear Bessie trying to make a comparison between her and...
You guys wasting too much people's time on this, you know.
I don't say so.
This is too much time.
I don't say so at all. Because I am expecting the young lady to do well.
Can expect anything.
I would expect if you were running, you would do well too.
You could expect anything. I really don't take that seriously anyway. Look, we all have our likes and our dislikes. At the end of the day... She's just another candidate out there. She's got a different background, but she's another candidate running as an independent. You guys are blowing this thing out of proportion. Totally.
Yeah, but I am expecting that Mr. Prodestro is going to retain the MP, is going to retain the government.
Right, well, there you go. You see the kind of thinking that you got?
Yeah.
You just see things differently.
Right. Okay, thank you, sir.
Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you, sir? How are you?
I'm well.
Now, I would like to say about two things, please. Do you think Barbadian will one day able to walk on the beach in Barbados? I'm not talking about the foreign. I'm talking about born and bred Bajan. I'd like to tell you...
I walk on the beach here, and I born and bred here. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's getting that way now. Let me tell you why. I go for fish every so often, and I see... These two couples was on the beach, sunbathing, on top, you know, not down too near to the water sea. This man get up and see the fishing boat coming in. And do you know he waited till the fishing boat was nearly him to jump in front of the fishing boat? The fishing boat man have to swerve his boat. He deliberately do that. Now, if he get licked and dead, you would hear fishing boatmen careless kill a white visitor. Right? And they're doing these kind of things. The neighbor that live on the beach, near the beach there, said a man was there just casually chewing a line. And the man walk over and jump on top of where the man line, jump over. The man just roll in his line and walk away. If he'd get a hook in him now, you would hear. They're doing a lot of nonsense, miss, and telling, look at this lady, they take away her things or chairs. They break in and take it away. If she did break into that place and take away anything, they would arrest her. And they come talking about they cannot accommodate her. Oh, dear, they come. Oh, the beach belong to he. The beach don't belong to the hotels. The beach don't belong to the hotels. That's what I'm saying. They're coming in and gradually taking over, and Beijing will not
what
be able
disturbs
to
me about this particular incident here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it appears to me as though the vendors are the pawns in a struggle between Let me finish. Between Eugene Melnick and Paul Doyle. Because if you listen to what Doyle said in the news conference on Friday,
mm-hmm.
he was basically saying the answer lies in the development of the area which has been stalled by Eugene Melnick's court case. And this is what is most unfortunate about this situation. You know, two people, neither of whom were born and bred in Barbados, who have now been able to bring their fight to such a point where the people who were born and bred here have to be suffering and the victims of their fight. Something wrong with that.
But, Miss David, if you did go down Paints Bay Beach towards the name of the hotel, yet we used to be able to walk. Now the man with a thing in the sea that you cannot walk anymore. They're doing stupidness and not, and the government is just sitting back and let town and country planning, and the government are sitting back and let these people come in and do as they like to Bajan. And it's not right that ladies applying her trade to make a living. But why I blame Bajan? They would rather to curse the foreigners. I'm a Bajan, and you go back to where you come from. They will not tell them that because they're white men, they're bringing in 2 cents. It is getting out of hand, and it's got to be. If I was a born Bajan, I would get up some crowd and go down there and see what he's going to do. The beach don't belong to him.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I think that, as you were saying just now, the most disgraceful thing about this whole crane issue is the fact that Mr. Doyle is accused, and he's acting as both the accused and the judge. Where is the NCC in this matter?
Correct.
And that's the question that I would ask. Where is the National Conservation Commission in this matter? Where is the town planning in this matter?
I agree with you. I mean, this does not... After I saw what was written there, I could not believe it. I mean,
yeah.
How could a fight between the two of them create a situation such as this?
Such as this. Right. Right. Anyway, Mr. Ellis, I did not call to talk about that. I called this morning to talk about the qualifications of our Prime Minister. Because I've gone on record before on this program as saying that I believe that one of the biggest problems that Barbados has right now, and this is why I'm anxious for general elections to come, is the fact that we have a Prime Minister in office who is highly unqualified for the job.
Also.
And I can make this remark based on the many years that I've spent in business. Now, you have a Prime Minister who has never been a Minister of Finance. He's the only Prime Minister that will go down in history as having never delivered a budget in this country. The people of Barbados have never heard his voice explaining the finances of this country to its people, and yet he's the Prime Minister. Now you have a situation when the downgrade, all the talk about the downgrades was going on. I wanted to hear the Prime Minister, and I've listened to Prime Ministers like GM and Bree and Barrow and all of them. I wanted Barbados' Prime Minister to stand up in Parliament or wherever and tell the people of Barbados how much those downgrades are costing taxpayers on a monthly basis. But no, the Prime Minister goes to meet to the DLP meeting, and all he's heard saying about the downgrades is that nobody can downgrade you. Nobody can downgrade Barbados and all this kind of thing. But it is an issue of money. And that's why I say I hope that I will never see this travesty repeated in Barbados politics, in which you have a Prime Minister who does not know economics of some type. And this is one of the reasons why Mr. Stewart has never reshuffled that cabinet. He has never reshuffled the cabinet because he cannot help it. A Prime Minister should always be able to help a cabinet. But what was foisted upon the people of Barbados for the last 10 years or so is Mr. Sinclair. Mr. Sinclair has struggled with every economic plan known to mankind. And what has happened to this country is that we've gone from one stage to another, from one downgrade to another, and Mr. Stewart seems not to be able to help him. Now, I am seeing Mr. Stewart at this point in time operating. While he is exposing the country, he's protecting the party. And that's a very dangerous line to be going down. Because it would appear from his actions that he doesn't care much about the party, but he doesn't care much about the economy, but he cares about the party.
But can you care for one without the other? I mean, if the country's economy doesn't do well, How can you expect that your fortunes would be good as a political party and as a politician?
But this is the travesty he's making, the mistake, because I'm calling for the 90-day extension. All the business people and everything are telling him, but you know, the foreign reserves are in trouble. Rome is burning. He doesn't care anything about that.
Well, he will argue that you were saying that ever since.
But
and Rome is still standing. That's the argument that you get. How do you respond to that?
But his interest at this point in time is that he's going to drag us out further to help his politicians and have us.
No, but you need to answer the question I put to you.
Which is
this. It may be argued that for quite some time now, since 2008 and the first budget, the critics were saying that Rome was burning. Based upon all that was said, Rome should have been in ashes by now. This is the argument that you will get. The very fact that it is not in ashes suggests that the claim that we are now in danger zone may well be another hollow claim, given the fact that since 2008, we were supposed to be so badly off and finished with. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, all the information suggests that we're more badly off than 2008.
And what information are you relying on?
The information from the central bank, the former central bank governor, and it says that the current import cover has dropped. The foreign exchange has dropped significantly, and now we are down to about 6 weeks of import cover. So all the indicators are is that the situation is worsening. While at the same time, the Prime Minister is demanding extra time for party matters. And this is the reason I'm saying that he continues to put the party before the country. When civil servants were asked to hold on because they couldn't get a raise, he allowed his ministers to take back the 10% retroactively, put the unions on hold until now, and the rest of the country was left to fend for itself. Once again, he put the party before the country. And this is why I'm praying. He has got us into this 90-day late, making Barbadians look like some of the biggest clowns in the Caribbean. And here we are holding on. Every Sunday he goes to speak at the DLP meetings, he's dangling it before your face.
You heard him last night?
I heard him.
We said last night.
He says what he says all the time, that it's coming soon.
But he went beyond that. He wasn't talking about Good Friday again.
Easter
on Good Friday.
Well, in essence, he hasn't given you a specific date. He's just saying it's coming soon, it's coming soon, it's coming soon. And this is why I'm hoping that a new administration coming in would rid Barbados of ever being able to be hijacked by a prime minister again.
So what are you going to be asking them to do?
Well, I want to see the monthly administration when it takes office. I want to see them set a time and discuss with Barbadians about having a fixed election date, because a prime minister should not be able to do this.
I think that's desirable, quite honestly, based upon how this particular
thing is working
aspect
out
of the Constitution has been exploited.
Yes.
I think that his deliberate measure has been to show us a potential weakness, and that we need to look at that. Indeed, when I asked whether a prime minister is obliged to actually call an election, they tell me no. This constitution that we have that's a gray area.
Yeah.
But basically what it was supposed to be doing was depending upon a person being in touch with the society and how the community was moving, and basically being responsive to the electorate in a sense.
Yes.
But if you have a person who is detached from that kind of connection, and
exactly.
I must confess that over the years I have come to the conclusion that the Prime Minister of Barbados does not really speak to Barbadians in that way. He's always had a core of people that he was close to, and he remained in that zone. So that what we expected was a man who would step out and come among us and be responsive to the people. He has never been like that. And therefore,
no.
My assessment is that what you are experiencing now is consistent with that personality.
Exactly. In the words of Dr. Bell says that the Prime Minister, even though he's right, he's abusing the law. He's abusing the law and abusing his ministerial power at the same time.
But the question is, are they cognizant of what it is doing to the psyche of the people?
You know, sometimes
they ask
people
feel about it.
You know, I asked
that lady who called. That lady who called earlier. In my judgment, she hit the nail right on the head. There was a man who called before her. These people, and don't listen to the people who are the hardcore BLP people who call these programs every day. Listen to the voices that you might not have heard before.
Yes.
Don't even listen to the moderators. Listen to those people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because I often tell people who come to me and say, I want you to say something on my behalf. I say, no. Get up and come here and say
exactly.
Yourself. Because you have more power than I do. People hear me all the time. They don't hear you.
Yeah. You have a situation in this 90-day period, Mr. Ellis, where Minister Dennis Lowe appears to be ill. Garbage is all packed up here in Christchurch where I live. And yet, the Prime Minister or whoever is in charge, whoever it may be, has not given over his office to another minister to act and to face the public in Mr. Lowe's absence. You have another situation here where Dr. David Eswick, I don't know if he's sick, I don't know if he's on holiday, I don't know what happened, but he's been missing before AgriFest. You have a situation with the cane industry and all the issues that they're dealing with. No Minister of Agriculture, and yet the ministers are on a 90-day extension that will give each of them about an extra $50,000 and the Prime Minister about another $60,000 himself. And nobody is saying anything to the country. Why has not another minister been called in to deputize for Mr. Lowe and to speak to Barbadians about the mountains of garbage that you are seeing piling up to the country?
Well, look, we don't even need to go through all of that right now. The time is short. We have been through this for the last 8 years or something like that, where we didn't get reports to the public, you know. As the lady earlier said, you know, that kind of communication has been missing all this time. You really expect that to change now? A leopard can't change its spots.
Mm.
You know, and there are some people who like it so. I mean, I saw somebody making an observation there that we have a prime minister who doesn't get involved in frivolities.
I heard it. I mean, last night, they say he don't talk, and when he talk, and this and that. But this is not good enough.
Well, to you, but let me say to you, Barbados is a country divided between the BLP and the DLP supporters. And for every person who is pro-B, there is somebody who is pro-Dem who will find a reason to support the Prime Minister. By the same token, the pro-BLP people will find a reason to support Ms. Motley. So, and then it comes down to people like the lady in the middle there who said, look, I voted against Mr. Arthur last time in 2008. This is the reason why I voted against him. And I can vote against this government now. All right? Because as far as that, there are some people out there who feel that you should not be tied to no political party. And when people do well, you should be able to say so. And when they don't do so well, you should be able to get rid of them. All right? Note, though, that 26% of the people who were polled in 2013 who said they will accept money for a vote. Now, that's significant. They will accept money for a vote. What the poll did not say, though, is whether they can vote for the people who give them the money. This is down to brass tacks. This person writes, the notion of the Chinese finding the Black Panther movie too black made me think. Black folks, especially in the Caribbean and Africa, have been watching Chinese movies for years without complaining. We have to wake up as a people and really see others for who they are. The Chinese who found the movie too black don't have a problem buying up the land and coveting resources in Africa and other parts of the world where black people reside. Instead of African leaders preserving Africa for future generations, they are selling out the continent to people who can never appreciate their color, culture, or creed. Wake up, black people, it is time. No black person can buy land in China. Why should Chinese be allowed to buy land in your country? Wake up. By our lack of awareness, lack of vigilance, and inability to think ahead, we are encouraging future colonization and even slavery, this time on the continent. And this time, it will be worse. Look around you. Everybody has a home and they protect it. Just look at what is happening in the USA and Europe. If the Chinese are not stopped, African people would soon be out of a home. This may sound like a doomsday prophecy that doesn't have a good chance of fulfillment. But just spend a few minutes looking at the facts. Do some research. Educate yourself. And then tell me if the Chinese do not have a master plan. They have conquered trade. Now they are conquering lands. And the weakest will be the first to be taken advantage of. Rex Tillerson warned Africa last week. But like every other thing, we as a people don't get it until it is too late. Please start this discussion with your friends and family and pass it along. Awareness can make the difference. And that's been sent to us on WhatsApp. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good. I'm well, and you?
I'm good too, Mr. Ellis. I would like a little of your time today because I've got a couple of things here to go through with you. First thing, Mr. Ellis, Mr. Wickham, when is he going to be coming?
Not sure. He's out here at the moment.